All right, hello everyone here on our UGA Sports YouTube channel. I am Dane Young. That is Roddy Nabulsi, and you also see Paul Mahury in whatever corner of the screen. I'm not sure where it is on YouTube. On mine, it's top left. I think it's going to be right on YouTube. Anywho, Georgia has two new transfer players that we think will be playing a large role in the 2021 season. Roddy, you're the publisher of the site. I'll let you take it from there.
Well, you know, I remember when we had our podcast and I mentioned that Georgia was still in contact conversations. I can't think of the word. I'm down in Orange Beach, of course, so you know that all my words are going to be jumbled while we're speaking. I said, look, they're still talking to him. You know, and he was like, well, no, he's got that legal issue. And this is not, you remember, everyone was hot and heavy on him when he first came out because that's exactly what Georgia needs. They need a potential first round cornerback. Not guys that are, and this is no shot against Tyke Smith, but not a guy who's a little undersized, very solidly built, but not very tall. That's not what they needed. They need someone to play opposite Keely Ringo. They need somebody with experience to come in. You had six different guys in your secondary who are gone, you know. And if you go back to the last two, 3 years, you're now 9, 10, 11 guys in the secondary, you know, going all the way back to Devon Wilson, guys like that who've transferred out. So you had a couple guys get drafted, another guy get drafted, a guy leaves early, a guy, you know, Tariq Stevenson transfers, you know, you're missing all these guys. You need a proven commodity. Darren Kendrick decides he's leaving Clemson or is kicked off the team, depending on which stories you like to read. George needs it, but then he has a little run-in with the law, and he was like, okay, well, it's done. And I remember when I said that, I got hammered. They're like, they're not going to ever take him. I'm like, let's not punish a guy, or let's not presume to know the outcome of a trial or a charge. You know, I said, if the charges are dropped, you never take this kid? You say, hey, we're never, you got arrested once, so you're done for life. So, sure enough, that's from what we hear, the charges are dropped. Georgia's taking him, and you're going to have to get the president to sign off on this. You're going to have to get Jerry Moorhead to do this. This isn't just a, hey, Kirby wants him, Kirby gets him type situation. You're going to have to dot the I's across the T's. And then, you know, that was the whole Arik Gilbert thing. It kind of reminds me of that. We told folks, hey, Arik Gilbert's still in play. And they're like, no, we don't even want him. Okay, I may be drunk, but I ain't that drunk at the beach. You still want Arik Gilbert on your team. Don't give me that bullshit. So we told folks Friday or Saturday night, it's coming this week. You know, we laid it out there for you. We're like, our sources are dead on this. We're not going to predict that or guess it. Now, I did predict it on January 1st that he was coming to Georgia. So 6 months later, June 1st, he's here. But again, there were times in February and March where like, no, this is not going to happen. So point being, you get two huge pieces. You needed a cornerback. You got one. And he's got to learn. I'm not saying that it's plug and play, but you got to get that guy in here. And you needed someone to help take over for George Pickens. I think you get that in Arik Gilbert. Now, granted, he's not fast, but this is a guy who is a game changer. And just like last summer when we were down here, we told the world, hey, JT Daniels is coming to Georgia. Everyone's like, oh, you're so stupid and full of crap. No, he was here. So what did Georgia need last year? They needed a quarterback. Now, he wasn't healthy, but I know folks give Kirby Smart grief for not having won a title immediately. He did play for 1 year, too, was winning that game. But again, doesn't count. But when you talk about roster management, give me a break. This guy, I mean, we talk about recruiting, but it's just the roster management aspect. When he has a need, he goes and gets it. If you had, I'll throw it back to you, Paul. If you had to pick two guys in this transfer portal that you wanted to come to Georgia, who would they be?
Arik Gilbert and Darren Kendrick, with a close third being Tyke Smith. And Georgia landed all three of those guys. So you've got your lockdown, star, whatever, in Tyke Smith. You got Darian Kendrick, who is obviously going to be your number one corner. Just so happens, Roddy, that you're playing against Clemson week one. Wonder if he knows that defensive scheme a little bit.
I'm sure he has no idea.
I don't know. Maybe that helps you out a little bit there. And then also what you have is you have a guy in Arik Gilbert who – I'm looking at the stats right here, and stats don't tell the whole story, right? But just in his first year at LSU, 35 receptions, 368 yards. You go to Georgia's returning wide receivers, and tight ends. Jermaine Burton, George Pickens, and Kyaris Jackson were the only three that had more yards than him. George and Kyaris would have tied him for receptions, and George is not going to be there for the foreseeable future. So you're bringing in a guy that was the man at LSU, and from all accounts that we've heard, is going to be really playing that wide receiver position. And they're going to at least give him a chance at wide receiver is what we're hearing. And so you bring in a guy like that. He looks slimmer in photos that he's taken with Terrence Edwards, working out with Terrence Edwards over at his wide receiver academy. He looks, I think the word I used on Sunday night was svelte. He looks good. And he looks like he could potentially play that wide receiver position. Blaine Gilmer brought up a huge point. You put him on the field with Darnell Washington, potentially Brock Bowers in a 13 set. Who's going to cover who? It's a really a matchup nightmare. And like you said, if I was to look at this way back when, we talked about it all off season, Kirby waited and waited and waited and finally got his guys that could truly make an impact on this team.
You know, when I was doing, we have an instant analysis piece, Brent Rollins and I, it's on UGASports.com, about what Todd Monken's weapons look like with Arik Gilbert added to the offense. And initially, I'd say, Roddy, what, for the past month, I've been saying, you know, there's reason to be concerned about Georgia's wide receivers. You don't replace the George Pickens. There's not enough weapons out there. The quarterback play is still unproven. If you're trying to find national champions, look at Alabama, look at LSU. There's a ton of first-round receivers. Where are Georgia's? That's pretty much what I've been saying. And then I put it down on paper and I looked at it, and Burton, he's good. Roseme, I think he's a superstar just waiting to burst. Kyaris Jackson's really solid. Dom Blaylock, what if he returns to his freshman year form or even better? That's a lot to ask with the two ACL injuries, but it could happen. Arian Smith's out there being a track star, so you know he can go over the top. And that's the main throw I'm confident in JT Daniels getting, is the deep throw over the top of everyone. And then you add Gilbert to that for the little like sneaky stuff where you're just slanting across the middle, getting 15 yards when it really should have been three. That's the kind of stuff I'm like, oh, maybe this is different. And I'm not trying to be like, oh, I write for a UGA site fanboy guy here. This is the most talented offense in America, and that's without George Pickens. I really do think that.
Now I'm thinking of just the misdirection, because it hit me like a ton of bricks when Coach Donna pointed out the other day when Georgia played Alabama, they put James Cook in the backfield and put him out in the slot. He goes for 80-yard TD. You know, how the fact that you line up thinking, okay, they've got a runner. We need to get run heavy. We need to put in a heavier package. And you have a guy who can completely change roles on you. Now all of a sudden it's almost like they're five wide. Same thing, you put Arik Gilbert out there and you're like, okay, that's their X. That's where is he a Y? What's he doing there? And you got Kyaris. So people pass by Kyaris Jackson all the time. I mean, he just was, you know, the most effective receiver Georgia had. So, you know,
right.
Not put champion. Don't just zip past Kyaris. I'm not saying you did, but people do it all the time. They're like, oh, what about these other guys? I'm like, Kyaris Jackson, folks. Don't forget about him. But you have a James Cook out there who is a weapon. And if you spread everybody out and decide to run it, he's gone. But let's say, okay, you know he's in there and you know his job is to protect the quarterback. He's got to pick up whoever's blitzing. And Arik Gilbert's over there. We're not sure exactly what he's doing, but he's obviously going out as a wide receiver. Oh, no. Arik Gilbert is coming down on the end, the most dangerous man blocking him. Arik Gilbert is switching out, you know, giving quarterback protection. And there goes Cook on a wheel route or something like that. The roles are so confusing. You're already trying to figure out, is Big Darnell Washington, is he going out or is he staying in line to block? And, of course, you got Brock Bowers, who's that same question mark out there, you know. Kenny McIntosh, same. I don't know if Kenny's going to be a wide receiver or a running back. Hey, look, Kendall Milton can catch the damn ball. In other words, if you have someone like Todd Monken who's like, I can put – and watch this. That's the whole point of why they have the timeout rules. If the offense makes a substitution, the defense gets to make the substitution. You can't do the substitutions and have your defense without a chance to do so. It's against the rules. But now you're like, well, what package do I put on the field based on Georgia's personnel? And that's what they do. They sit there with their charts and they're like, when you see this guy goes in, this is the personnel we run. And now you're like, you have to have multiple charts and you're picking your poison as a defender against this defense because you don't know what it could do. Now, will it be effective? I don't know. I mean, we talked about last year, everyone just assumed that you could replug in all those offensive linemen and you wouldn't have any problems. You lose two first-round draft picks on the tackles, you know, no big deal. It was a big deal. You can lose Jake Fromm. It's not a big deal. We got four quarterbacks in there. Well, Jamie Newman opts out. You get guys injured. all the way down, you know, one of JT Daniels isn't ready to go yet, you know. Dwan Mathis just couldn't, you know, he gets the start, but just can't go ahead and get it done against Arkansas. It's not as simple as plugging and playing and getting stuff done. I'm with you there, Dane, saying, look, you know, this could be the most dangerous, most talented offense in America, but you still got to execute at that level. And you add these pieces. Well, these pieces can, there are other pieces that can go, you know, you talk about all these guys. Well, eventually, you know, that portal works both ways.
Well, I wrote this, though, in the instant reaction piece, that because of those pieces and the sheer amount of them, because attrition is going to happen in the SEC. One interesting narrative we're seeing in sports right now is with the wonky COVID year and a lot of players having to play in like such a compressed amount of time. Like NBA players are dropping left and right because their bodies are breaking down this time of year after their bubble experience and now a season and now the playoffs. Yeah, I don't know that college football is going to be that severe in that way, but there's going to be some injuries that happen just because of SEC football. But if there's any link to like a wonky season last year to this, just having the extra depth you're talking about, that may be enough to push Georgia through some things that other teams just simply cannot handle. And to that end, Paul, in our chat on YouTube, we have David Johnson saying, what about Brandon Turnage? You guys haven't mentioned him in the transfer piece of this. And now we've reported that Turnage is on his way to Georgia, but that's important for depth as well.
He may not, though.
Yeah, go ahead, Roddy. Go ahead, Roddy.
I mean, if you're Brandon Turnage, you saw what looked like to be a wide open spot at UGA. You know, again, they want a cornerback. And now you know Darian Kendrick coming in. And you're like, look, I played at Alabama. Granted, it was what, four games?
Mop-up duty. Like that. Yeah.
But he knows he's really good, you know, and he's like, again, maybe says, well, I don't know. Let me rethink this. I got a couple days here. So again, if you, and I see why they're bringing Arik Gilbert in as a wide receiver. You've got a fantastic tight end room, you know. And if you're bringing in another tight end, you're like, you know, Brock Bowers, I know you came all the way from California. Maybe you want to play a little closer. And again, I'm not saying any of these guys would do so. But point being, I do want to put that little earworm, you know, into the back of your mind saying don't let just the enthusiasm of the day blind you to the fact that portal works both ways, you know. So you could have a Brandon Turnage. You hope he shows up and adds to it. You know, it feels like everything's coming together, but it wouldn't be Georgia sports without that sort of thing. I mean, the same day that
here goes Roddy just peeing in the cornflakes bowl. Every time.
The same day we were telling everybody about, hey, Gilbert's coming to UGA. You have the Zuna news. It's like, you know, just – if you're a Georgia sports fan and you follow the Falcons, you follow the Hawks, you follow the Braves, you follow the Dogs, you know, you know it's going to take something special to get you over this. But this team does feel special. That's why we put that deal on at UGASports.com. You know, for people who aren't subscribers, I came up with the, hey, we will give you an entire year for $20.21. 2021 is the year. So we've never done that. But if you want to be a member at UGASports.com, you've never been one before, give us $20.21. We'll let you in for the entire year. And you, this time next year, June 1st next year, you're like, oh, that was worth it. Or hell, if it wasn't, they didn't cancel. But I believe for all the news we're going to have in this fall with all the team coverage, all the analysis you guys do, all the people we've added on staff, I'm just thinking that that's going to do it. And if you're not optimistic about this season, you're probably dead.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at – and I talked to a buddy of mine about this. He's a big Georgia fan. And he said, where's the weakness? And I said, well, if you're able to add Gilbert and Kendrick, maybe the offensive line, but your weakness at offensive line is just inexperience. You've got five stars all over the board. That's the only place that I can look at and truly say, you know, without a doubt, you've got guys coming back at that position, which I would trust. Running back, you're covered. JT Daniels, Heisman hopeful, right? Wide receiver now with Gilbert in the mix and tight ends and the way that James Cook and those guys can receive out of the backfield, catching a pass is not going to be a problem. So on the offense, that leaves you the offensive line. You've got a ton of talented prospects. Amarius Mims, Broderick Jones. I mean, those two guys would probably be starting right now for any other, you know, smaller program in the country. And you have two of them. And then you have guys like Jamari, who could potentially play outside if needed. You know, he's had that experience there. So you look on the defensive side of the ball. Defensive line, covered. You've got guys that came back. You had Wyatt come back. Jordan Davis came back. your defensive line is one of the best in the country. Linebacker, you've got N'Kobe Dean. You hope Quay Walker looks like the Quay Walker that he did in the spring game, where he looked like Lorenzo Carter just in a middle linebacker form. I mean, he looked amazing. You've got outside linebackers and Adam Anderson and Nolan Smith. And then you get back to the defensive backfield. That's where everybody was kind of worried, right? They were worried, well, we lost Stokes and we lost Campbell and we lost LeCount. Oh, Lord, what are we going to do? We don't have the prospects back there. Well, you had Ringo. But were you willing to throw out Ringo and Jalen Kimber first game against Clemson? Obviously, Kirby was wanting to add some experience. He got Tyke Smith to kind of man that star role. And then you add in a guy like Darian Kendrick, who we talked about Gilbert a good bit. I really think, and I'll throw it back to either one of you guys on this, I think Kendrick makes more of an impact day one. And not just because they're playing Clemson, but I think he makes more of an impact day one because you have so many offensive weapons. Not like you're ever going to turn down Gilbert. You will. No program ever would. You bring him in, you'll make a role for him, just like they've told him, hey, we'll let you try out the X at wide receiver if you want to be inline, outline, tight end, whatever. But I think Kendrick truly is the one that we should be focusing on day one, jumping in and being that guy against Clemson and moving forward. He's going to have one of those lockdown corner positions. He's going to be on the field every snap because Georgia loves to run. I mean, Eric Stokes and Tyson Campbell never came off the field last year. Kendrick's going to play almost every snap, I think, right?
I would go the other way, though. I think for Georgia for Georgia to take the next step, you got to score more points. And Kendrick is not going to be doing that.
But they've got so many guys. You've got 50 bodies over there. You've got Kendall Milton, James Cook, Darnell Washington. I mean, we just went through the whole list.
But on the outside, I don't see the guy with size that Gilbert has with some speed. That's the specific thing. He's replacing some of what George Pickens could do. Not all of it. He's not that kind of catch radius guy. But in terms of, like, I'm a little bit faster than your big guys, and I'm a little bit bigger than your fast guys. Like, I don't know what you do with a guy like that.
But you're relying on him for, let's say you're talking about a red zone threat. So maybe 3 to 4 plays a game. I'm talking about Kendrick playing like 70 snaps a game and being your island corner, which we know Kirby likes to run his corners on islands. He's that guy.
I mean, if they're if they're looking at Gilbert to be out there for 4 or 5 plays a game, then you need to be firing.
I'm just saying in the red zone.
That where some points can be scored there. Right. I think you can go with the argument either way. I'm just the two things I look at this. I say this is great, and Georgia has a manageable schedule. That's one thing that's just critical for Georgia is that it's a pretty easy schedule to navigate past Clemson. So maybe even that's a losable game. Maybe it doesn't end up mattering in the end for one of them. I don't know. I'm not sure. If you're looking, and I'm not saying you glossed over this, Paul, but I would have stopped just a little bit longer on quarterback with JT Daniels. And the talent is there. That's like he's got the arm to do what he needs to do. It's just the lack of sample size at Georgia because the teams that he played in his 4 games, not the best teams that he needs to be able to beat. I need to see a little bit.
I trust JT a little. You're more on the pessimistic side of JT. I'm more on the optimistic side. Yeah, just like you guys love Brock Bowers. I've said it on my show. You know, let me see. You know, I'm more optimistic
you're
gonna
be
with JT.
So wrong twice.
No, I'm. You're not optimistic on JT. You're not optimistic.
I am optimistic, but here's the thing. Mainly for the people around. I was the first guy to come out and say he may be here 2 years. Everyone's like, oh, he's this year and done. I'm like, that's maybe not. It's not like this is a guy who may have to prove himself a little bit more. I mean, yeah, mentally, he'll be ready for the NFL. Absolutely. Talking to people, they go, this kid is a football genius.
Yeah.
But there have been a lot of football geniuses that are not big enough. You know, he is not a huge guy. So he's going to have to prove football genius and some mobility, which he did not have last year. Didn't show up. I mean, he showed up a few times, but again, the teams Georgia played last year were not amazing. So he gets sacked a few times. You know, he's coming back. He's, you know, just come back from the knee thing. He's supposed to be a lot better now. This year, he's going to have to show it. I'm like, when you're trying to get away from JJ Watt, you know, what are you going to do? So you got to show some stuff like that. So maybe he does it this year, maybe he doesn't, but I'm confident in him because when you go back to that Florida game, a game you should have won, even though they scored a bunch of points, you had guys running wide open everywhere, even though you had lost. George Pickens is up and Marcus Roseme breaks his ankle on the first score of the game. You still had guys wide open everywhere. Just as open as that wheel route Florida was running, you know, it's like,
Just, oh God,
that will you got him. My point being, you have that. You had a guy who could do that. Now you've given him more tools, and you have a super smart quarterback who's like, they're lined up in X. My first option is Y. This guy moves. Let's run a guy in motion. You know, that little in and out motion. Okay, that tells me what the this cornerback's supposed to do. This safety's going to roll over, and all that's in a fraction of a second. He knows where to go to the ball. And worst case scenario, you turn around and hand it to Zeus. You know, it's like, okay, I don't know. Here, Zeus, right.
Well,
you know?
Paul, I think your point is that Kendrick will be able to make more of an impact on defense because there's more availability there. There's more attrition from the previous season. That's completely fair, completely legit. My slant on that just comes into a philosophical perspective to where the thing that's been holding Georgia back is not defensive backs, it's passing game. And until that gets rectified, I don't think that Georgia will win a national title. And so if you believe in Gilbert and you believe in Washington and those bevy of receivers and you believe in JT Daniels, then it would lead you to think that this is Georgia's best chance since they were in overtime in the national championship game.
I agree, but I'm going with Paul on the Darian Kendrick. You do have to stop some people. I mean, it didn't feel like LSU was stopping people. It didn't feel like Alabama was stopping people. But then, you know, Clemson gets boat raced. You got to stop somebody. At some point, your offense has to – excuse me, at some point, your offense isn't going to be able to outscore your opponent. You know, maybe not in the regular season, but when you get into the playoffs, you're going to go up against a really good team. Your defense needs to be able to step up. It's Kirby Smart's bailiwick. He's a defensive guy. He passed on the first West Virginia cornerback to go into the portal.
Drayshon Miller, yeah.
That guy winds up at Auburn, right? Mm-hmm. The idea being the defenses that Kirby Smart's going to run, you put your cornerbacks out there on an island. They have to be great in man-to-man coverage. Why is Tyke Smith not coming in and being that cornerback guy? Doesn't have the man-to-man coverage skills, apparently, that Kirby Smart feels comfortable with. So, hey, come in at star. You're a little undersized, but when you get used to your Eric Stokes, you know, and your Tyson Campbell and guys like that, hey, cover him one-on-one. That's going to shut down everything. When you went up against, you know, Jalen Waddle, when you went up against Devonta Smith, when you went up against, you know, the Kyle Pitts, when you couldn't cover one of those guys, they just ate you alive. So I can see it both ways, but you've got to be able to at least take over. What does Kirby Smart and all those guys want to do defensively? They want to make you one-dimensional. Yep. Take away the pass, take away the run. And if you commit to taking away the run, the pass opens up, and if you don't have some cornerbacks back there. So I think as big as the Reed Gilbert news is, getting Kendrick is going to be – is from a – you know, hey, if you play 50 snaps, he's probably out there for 48 of them, 49 of them. You play 50 snaps on offense, you may not have a Reed Gilbert on the field at all times.
I brought this up on my show Sunday night, guys, and I wanted to reiterate it here. If you're a betting person, if you follow futures, I said, you know, if Georgia gets a Reed Gilbert, Darian Kendrick, watch out, that future might drop. Lo and behold, our odds shark had them at plus 800. They're now plus 600. Just wanted to throw that out there.
We have a trip to Vegas next year.
right.
We should have.
I'm just saying that. It has changed. The line has changed. Some sites still have it at plus 800. It looks like Odd Shark is the only one that's, I guess, up to date with the transfer portal. They must have an in with a guy that has a login over there. But looks like Odd Shark has gone down to plus 600 with the addition of Kendrick and Gilbert. And, you know, I think that's what everybody's looking for. Like Roddy said, there's a reason we're doing the special right now for 2021. We're close, you know, in terms of following this team to a national title. And Kirby Smart knows it. He knows how close his team is, and we want to follow them with you guys. We want you guys to join us over at UGASports.com. That's why we ran that great deal, and we want you guys to have, you know, all the news and everything that you can have. And Roddy, like he said, January 1st, so it's been, what, 6 months since you predicted Gilbert? Right on the dot, right?
Yeah. January 1st.
So, you know, one thing, had you been around, you would have seen it.
I want to mention this on Gilbert too, because we don't know all the facts of why he left LSU or what he encountered at LSU or what was going on in his life. It doesn't sound like it was anything that was a lot of fun. And it sounds like that he had some personal issues off the field, maybe some mental health. So I don't know everything that went on with him. I do you know that in a COVID year, it was tough for a lot of people to be away from home. So it may have come down to as simple as that. So whatever it is that kind of sent him away from LSU, or where he couldn't kind of complete some of the obligations that he probably would have wanted to do there, I hope he finds that like health and support far beyond football at Georgia, because like, it's really tough for some of these kids to kind of take that leap into the spotlight that is SEC football. And I'm not saying he can't handle it. I actually think he very much can. He proved that he can handle being a football player in college. But it's all the other stuff that like, there's a whole team of people that are set to support him in that role at Georgia. And so to him and his loved ones, I just hope that this is a healthy kind of boost and reset for that piece of it.
Well, that's the thing about covering recruiting as many as Paul's been doing, what, 7 years now, Paul? Eight?
Yeah, 7.5, something like that. Who's counting, right?
and I've been doing it longer than that. You start talking to these kids, you know, when they're – I mean, I remember interviewing Robert Kimdichie as a – I think it was rising eighth grader, rising ninth grader. You know, you talk to these kids so early, and they are kids. They're children, you know. And then by the time everyone's talking to them and they're, you know, juniors and seniors, they've done, you know, 250 interviews, maybe not that many, but a lot. And they're like, oh, that guy's arrogant. Well, he's been told for 3 years, you know, he's going pro. He's a future millionaire. And some of them get caught up in that. Some of them don't, you know. I mean, Alvin Kamara would pick up the phone anytime I talk to him, you know, and give us information. Didn't always want to go on the record, but he, you know, because there's a lot of things, a lot of people trying to reach out to him. But the point is, these guys, we make all these assumptions about their personalities when they're 16, 17, 18 years old. I think of the stupid stuff I was doing in college, you know, out of college, you know, the stupid mistakes I was making, the help that people need sometimes, you know. You're like, oh, this guy, he's just a big, scary football player, you know, he's arrogant, he's working on his brand, he's talking about NIL, you know. Sometimes it's just a scared young man, you know. Sometimes it's a homesick young man, you know. And it bugs me when people voiced their insecurities and their fandom on these guys' personality. I want every one of these kids we talk to, whether they come to Georgia or not, I want them to have that same support network. And they don't always get it everywhere. I don't know what the deal was at LSU. I need to talk to Jimmy Smith out there. Jimmy Smith, their LSU publisher, he can tell us everything. But I will say this for Georgia's support network, Dane, as you mentioned, it's pretty fantastic. You know, and if you will meet them a third of the way, they'll come the other two thirds. You know,
to that end, I don't know if you want to call this breaking news. This is a source telling me this, that Arik Gilbert is eligible academically to play. Yeah. I'm being told that. I'm also being told that Darion Kendrick has a little work to do in that regard.
I've heard eyes on both.
Let's just say that for Kendrick to play against his former team, some things have to happen between now and then. And so I think Georgia feels confident that those things will happen, or they wouldn't have taken
summer classes. Yeah, you've got summer classes.
Right. But that means that some people have to take care of some responsibilities before they can step on a football field.
Again, if you give them one third of your effort, they'll go more than halfway. You don't have to meet them halfway. Just do one third of the effort that you put into football, into academics. Do one third of the effort you put into football into maintaining healthy relationships, getting away from people who are not, you shouldn't be around, focusing on family, religion, whatever your support network is designed, is built from, you know, UGA will meet you there. They'll accommodate. And that's, we hear that all the time. And I know it's, you know, when I say that, people are like, oh, well, you're just repeating what Georgia wants you to say. I'm like, I repeat a lot of stuff Georgia does not want me to say. Trust me on that. Point being, just like we have sources, we called both of these long before they happened. We have sources saying this is what Georgia does for these players, you know. And when we find out some stories, we can't always share the stuff because it's, you know, behind the scenes. We don't want to put these kids on blast. But we're like, look, if you're willing to meet them halfway. So I think this could be a big step up for Arik. You know, if he needs that, he wants to be back closer to home. He's 90 minutes from home. You know, it could be big for Kendrick. The Clemson thing wasn't working out. A lot of that, people say that was on him. Well, sometimes you need a break and try things new. And shout out to Blaine Gilbert, our new recruiting writer at UGASports.com. Blaine Gilmer. Blaine Gilbert, for his first day, he came on the board and told everybody through his research and through his contacts that Arik Gilbert was academically eligible. And I know a lot of people are like, no, there's no way. He said it was true. And that looks to be proven out. So shout out to Blaine for getting that right off the bat.
And to your point, Dane, with your source there, I don't know if Georgia, Jerry Moorhead, would want to take Kendrick on if there was a chance that he wasn't able to play. You know, I think that you don't want that headache. Obviously,
you want the headlines, not the results.
Right, excellent point. You don't want that. You don't want that headache and that headline and things of that nature. If you bring in a kid and say, well, hey, listen here, Moorhead. Kirby goes into Moorhead's office, right? This is me reenacting it. This kid's our number one corner, but you know, he's got to get 15 hours this summer, and they're all upper ed, you know, courses, 3,000 level or higher, but we can make it work, right? I know he had this past and everything. He got kicked out of Clemson, or he left Clemson, and, you know, this whole gun charge, it got dropped, but he's got 15 hours, you know, those type of things. Eventually Moorhead would just be like, hey, no, you know, find another kid. Not to say he doesn't have work to do, Dane. You have a great source on that. I'm just saying, I think that they feel confident enough in him getting that work done that they wouldn't have made this transition to bring him in had they not thought he could.
They at least feel comfortable enough that the opportunity is worth
right,
it for him.
Right, right.
Yeah, all of this kind of stuff is risk reward, and not only in the sense of like who can do what, but I mean that roster spot could go to somebody else that could contribute if he can't. Well, and you're in a sport point. That every single roster spot can determine if you're a champion or you're not.
Yeah, Breed of Pest Management in the comments. Hey, everybody in the comments, we appreciate it. Sorry, we've been skipping over you, Anthony.
Not to cut you off real quick, Roddy, I think Breed of Pest Management was my ninth grade basketball coach, I think. Pretty sure. So if you were, can you comment? But anyway, go ahead, Roddy.
And if you were, sponsor too.
I think he was.
Says, are we now over on scholarships? Can we expect some defection from the secondary players after today and Turnage? I think Georgia had two spots left. And that's why I'm just kind of piggybacking off of what Dane, what you and Paul were saying. If you still have some academic issues, if you have some other issues these guys need to work through, because yes, these are not guys who are coming right out of high school and they have everything's hunky-dory. They had some issues where they were before, you know. Does that change the atmosphere in the locker room at UGA? It could. It could work out great. It could be there could be conflict. Point being, you're only going to take these guys if you think you can get them to play, especially kind of that one and done. Because they count. Here's the thing. It's still an initial counter, and that's it for this year. Versus bringing a kid like Turnage, who's an initial counter this year, but you got him for possibly 4 years because he's played two at Alabama, right? First year is a redshirt freshman year. Second year is a COVID year. Doesn't count. He could technically play for 4 years. Now, I think he plans to come in and play one or two, but you have that possibility. You bring in a guy like Darren Kendrick, you know he's one and done, but that's your initial counter for this year. Yeah, so that's why sometimes they don't always want to run to the transfer portal and take guys when you could take a kid out of high school, you know, and get a 4 year, 5 year player. So that's my point about when Breda Pest Management was asking about, you know, where you at on the scholarships. I think they had two spots. I think they filled them today, but that's including that's after getting Brandon Turnage and Tyke Smith to come to UGA. So, and of course, there's always roster sleight of hand. You know, you have guys come in that in this. There's the freshmen were supposed to report today. The freshmen who weren't early enrollees. I know we'd hardly talk about those guys because Georgia had 16 early enrollees.
90% of them were all early enrollees. Yeah,
but there were other guys that you know the Dylan Fairchilds of the world that still had yet to show up at Georgia. Those guys are supposed to show up today. So you're getting them. You get Darren Kendrick. You get Arik Gilbert. You get Tyke Smith. Maybe Brandon Turnage. All those guys. Some of those guys that we've reported in the past, you know, hey, this is – and Georgia puts out, hey, this person's a signee. Welcome to UGA. They're not always on scholarships. Some of those are gray shirts.
Blue shirts, gray shirts. Yeah. Color you want.
Yeah. So, hey, Alabama had, I think, three blue shirts last year. You know, people are like, how do they fit everybody on that roster? You got blue shirt guys out there. So, point being, and we appreciate it, Blink and Cole Barber and Mitchell Fletcher and Ernie Kirk, all you people, Christopher Mapp, thanks so much for jumping in here. And please, if you would, share this with your friends. We'd really appreciate it. News from Trent Smallwood. UGA has extended an offer to class of 2023 wide receiver. Who? Ethan Davis. Nice. So shout out to Ethan Davis on picking up an offer. Yeah, guys, we have a lot of updates coming on the camp today. We had a note, an insider note at UGASports.com on the vault. We have two message boards. Well, we have a ton of message boards at UGASports.com, but they're kind of the two biggest ones is the dog vent where we put a bunch of news. And then we have the vault, vault. Check out the vault at UGASports.com, and that's where we put all our recruiting stuff. So if you were looking for some good recruiting information, check out the vault. It's pretty busy. So
right now I see over on the comments, Roddy has said, D. Howard says, once Georgia figures out the O-line situation, we will be a nightmare for opposing defenses. I think that's kind of I think that's kind of what I said, you know, when it got first kicked off to me was, I think every position now, D. Howard, you're looking at it as being set. The one question mark, obviously, is that offensive line. Who are the five guys that play against Clemson? We did a piece on this over on the site. Dane compiled it. Who are the five guys that started against Clemson? Who are the five guys that start against Georgia Tech? Most of us came up with different answers. So it's kind of a crapshoot in terms of who's going to be out there for Georgia against Clemson. But I think you're right, D. Howard. Once they get the O-line situation, and that's a big like if, right? They could have all the talent in the world there. If they don't get the right five that mesh together, it might never mesh. Not to say that's going to happen, but it is a big if there, D. Howard. Let's see.
I'll say that if you see Amarius Mims out there early and often, especially if he finds his way as a starter, which is so rare for a tackle in the SEC, you know things went pretty well, because that just helps everyone else fit into a better position where Jamari Salyer can indeed go back inside, where he's probably got more of a future in terms of professional football. But it also means that Mims was probably better than Broderick Jones in practice, which, I mean, gosh, if that's the case, then Georgia's set up quite nice.
I mean, you think about that, the interior, if you could have Justin Schaefer back, which, you know, he come back, he could have gone, but he's back. And this is a guy who started after that neck injury 2 years ago, starts last year, does a great job. Jamari Salyer, who you think has got to be at, you know, top three rounds as an interior offensive lineman, who played a year in the SEC at left tackle. And now he goes inside to show the NFL what he can really do. You know, you've got some good options at center, you know, but and maybe you get rid of some of those bad snaps. There were a lot of high snaps last year, some bad snaps last year that kind of drove me crazy with Hill there. But let's say you get rid of those and you have Warren Erickson or Cedric Van Pran Granger at the center spot. I mean, you're still – I mean, Tate Ratledge hasn't even gotten on the field yet, you know, at one of those guard spots. Clay Webb's not on the field yet, 2 5-star guys. So it's pretty damn loaded offensive line. And, again, just another an embarrassment of riches along that O-line trying to figure out who your top five, top six guys are. And, of course, you know, in line you've got John Fitzpatrick as the tight end who can take somebody's block off and then peel out and catch pass. And then you got the big O, you know, Darnell Washington there on the other tight end. You're in that 12 person with those two tight ends out there. That's just filthy, you know. And now all of a sudden, let's say you take one of those guys off the field and you bring in Brock Bowers. Well, now he's going to go get open somewhere. And, oh, wait, Kyle Pitts, he's in as a wide receiver. No, wait, he's in as a tight end. Wait, what the hell is
going
he?
On?
Is he the punter? I mean, it's just – there's
Roddy.
No with that. So that's why I'm kind of excited about
– the new guys here.
What's up, Roddy?
Dang. Lane's here.
Oh, how y'all doing?
We need Howdy. To have somebody working security on this thing.
Dane let him in. Dane was the one that pushed the button.
I did. I'm security, man. I like people whose name rhymes with mine.
The Dane. I mean,
if we don't have a Dane and Blaine show, we might as well just quit what we're doing.
Yeah.
Blaine, instant reaction, Gilbert and Kendrick.
Oh, I mean, it's what, you know, we've known it here for a while. Had some definitely good sources and tip offs that let us know this was a real possibility. But, you know, Roddy a lot longer than me. Roddy a lot longer than me on, especially on Kendrick. But I was actually you know, doing some stuff around the state covering some guys, and it just came across my attention that this is not just smoke. This is something that's real possibility, real chance, and that it was going to be, especially on Gilbert's side, eligible from the get-go, 100% good. And you've From what I've got to listen in a little bit to, Dane, you confirmed that just a little bit ago. So, you know, Georgia gets a great athlete in Arik Gilbert, who is going to play multiple roles for Georgia's offense, not a traditional tight end, a guy who has the closest body type and skill set to George Pickens that any probably player inside the SEC does. And now that is just Paul and I were talking about it Sunday. When we were talking about if it were to happen, let's say you run Darnell Washington, Brock Bowers, John Fitzpatrick, and Arik Gilbert on the field all at the same time. If you're a defensive coordinator, when they ask what the personnel package is, they say, I don't know. I don't know if it's 13. I don't know if it's all four tight ends on the field. I don't know what's going on. So Georgia has a lot of different options they can do now offensively, especially with Arik Gilbert. So
imagine that with the jumbo set down there, like Jalen Carter getting in there and Jordan Davis. Yeah. We saw Amarius Mims in the spring game. Like, the red zone's going to be a fun little spot for whatever Georgia wants to do down there.
They probably wish they had that on the time they got stopped twice on fourth down against Florida a couple of years ago when it was eight plays inside the one. So yeah. If they had something like that, that probably didn't happen again. So
we're not trying to lose viewers, Blaine. We're trying to make them happy. Today is a day of joy for them, and you're bringing up the Florida game from 2 years ago. Dane and I were going back and forth on this. I'm curious on your thoughts. Obviously, Georgia got both of the guys, right? Kendrick and Gilbert. I'm not going to tell you who. You might have been watching that, but one of us thinks one is going to be more influential to the team, and one thinks the other. Who is your guy if you're going day one that you're picking that is going to, you know, help out the team the most?
Well, De'Aaron Kendrick, because he's the most. I mean, I just think he's the most impactful because now you have a tried and true corner who has experience, someone that you're not. You know, hoping comes along, hoping reaches their potential. As long as everything is settled, you know, yeah. I did hear Dane just briefly say that there could be some stuff to work on grade-wise with him and things like that. But as long as stuff's settled on that end, and as long as they're able to, you know, play right away and get that going, especially imagine the Clemson game. I mean, this is a guy who's been at Clemson. You don't think he's absorbed a little bit of the playbook from the other side, some tendencies, what they like to do? So
let's not forget, too, that De'Aaron Kendrick, when he came over to Clemson, started off as a wide receiver. So he knows the offensive playbook as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me roll up these sleeves here a second.
Hey, Blaine, if you couldn't tell from the reactions, you were definitely on the right side of that pick, by the way.
How do you win football games? You score points, right?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, more and more. You got to score more points than the other team. And
one more point than the other team.
Who's going to score more points, Gilbert or Kendrick?
I don't know. Kendrick
in a game in a given game. You never know.
Rationale. Then
If we're going off that rationale, right?
All right. Let me go another way at this.
Clay Webb is less important than Jordan Davis because Clay Webb could presumably block for a touchdown.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but Jordan Davis gets, scoop and scores. You know, we saw it in the spring game, right?
Oh, goodness.
Or in the scrimmage. All right. No, but here's a legitimate point here. Blaine just said that in the SEC, the guy that would have the skill set most similar to a George Pickens is Arik Gilbert. I would think if you ask most people in the SEC, the guy with the skill set most similar to a Kyle Pitts, probably Arik Gilbert. Yeah. If he's of that echelon and of that caliber, then he's going to be one of the best players in college football.
Not. And I'm not trying to bang on the kid, but Kyle Pitts is special fast.
Yeah.
There's a speed there because I just saw it on Twitter. People are like, he's our Kyle Pitts. No,
I'm not saying he's the Kyle Pitts. I'm saying if he gets in that lane –
I know. I'm just trying to
stop right.
You. He does.
You're right.
Yeah, he's trying to stop you there.
Yeah, you know what? In fact, Roddy, he's like Rob Gronkowski if you think about it. I'm joking. I'm not doing that.
With a little bit of Travis Kelce sprinkled in and Tony G on the side.
Travis Kelce can hope. No.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, it's probably just I haven't been excited to watch a Georgia offense in a long time because, frankly, it hasn't been that interesting. There's been a lot of let's get our 4 yards on the ground, pass it when we can. A lot of frustration with the latter part of the Jake Fromm years. Georgia's offense looks fun now. And so just as a fan of interesting football, that's exciting to me. And that's probably where a lot of this is coming from, where I see Gilbert and I just see possibilities galore.
Absolutely. Todd Monken has, you know, his run of kind of what he wants to do now in terms of matchup wise and things like that. My point is those is in terms of Kendrick, I mean, just that experience alone impact. So let's say Gilbert comes in and at the bare minimum, what he does is he replaces kind of the part of the void that George Pickens. Well, Georgia's offense had development to do around Pickens to get to where it needed to be this year. So it's going to be more about those guys, but the stuff, the talent that left the Georgia defense over this offseason left such a huge void that Kendrick's experience and talent level is more impactful early on, I believe, is the point I was saying in terms of the most impactful.
And Dane, I'm just busting chops here. I think both of them are going to be great, right? I just was wanting him to pick one side, but Scott Harris,
the right side.
He did. But
wait, I was going to say, Roddy, damn it, the new guy's pretty good down there. That was a really good point he just made. That like it's not just replacing Pickens; it's doing other things beyond that. Yeah, right. That's a good point.
Scott Harris over on the comments on YouTube said, even Coley could have been good with this guy, with these guys. Maybe not. Ooh. So take a little shot at Jake.
Coley's not as bad as what people thought, man.
Dane is just against the grain on everything. I love it.
No, I agree with Dane.
Daniels is terrible. Everybody's terrible. The terrible guys are good.
Losing James Coley was a huge hit to Georgia in terms of recruiting in the state of Florida, particularly South Florida, for a little while. And then it took them a little while to reshuffle and figure out, okay, who's going to be our point guy. Now Bryant Gross Armiento is doing work down there with Shamar Stewart, things like that. So they've tried to figure that out a little bit. But James Coley was a great recruiter, so you got to at least give that. So.
Hey, can I break some more news on this show? Because I just got some more news.
Yeah, sure. I mean, everybody's academics. You might as well give us the help.
Right. What blood type are they, Dane?
Yeah, you want to give us hit us up with those PIN numbers for those ATM cards.
Yeah.
We'll use them in Vegas. I mentioned depth earlier, and that's something that Gilbert can help out. I don't think this will impact the season, but Kyaris Jackson did have a knee scope this week. Mm. To repair, I believe it was a bone bruise. I'm getting some of this now. So he's got a month and a half of rehab to be ready for the season. So you know, knee scopes are pretty common this time of year. Clean it out, get ready for time to go. But I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of those early fall practices, if Kyaris is kind of getting back into the flow of things, so to speak.
Speaking of comments,
recovery there, Kyaris, because that's a guy that I really, really excited about. I think a lot of people, again, I mentioned earlier, I think a lot of people have gone right past him when they talk about Georgia's receiving core, and I just don't think you can. I think that is a guy who could have, you know, that Mecole Hardman type season. Although Mecole never really blew up at Georgia with what he could do, but that is a guy who could be Georgia's leading receiver, because when you're trying to catch all those other stuff, Kyaris is just there to take this. But what didn't he have like 7-8 catches in a game?
He had a few good games this year. He had a few good games. We had a comment over on the YouTube. It says, without the Pickens injuries, does Georgia go after Gilbert?
Ooh, probably not.
I don't see why you would as hard as they did. You would Eric Gilbert's such a talented player that I think anybody that has a opportunity to bring him on is going to look at it. But with George Pickens there, I just don't think there's as much of a need.
I think you can say the question the other way too, that if DJ Daniels comes back, do they need Kendrick?
Yeah,
probably. I think it's probably the same answer for Blaine, but you know, maybe you don't need him as much, but a talented player, you take him any way you get him.
Yeah, but I think if you still had George Pickens, you're like, okay, we got George Pickens, Jermaine Burton, Marcus Rosemary Jackson, Tom Blaylock, Kyaris Jackson, you know, okay.
Aaron Smith.
Yeah, Aaron Smith running that 10-10.
Brock Bowers, Paul.
Right, yeah. And you're thinking, okay, well, let's get another cornerback in, another DB, because what if, you know, hey, okay, Derek Kendrick's great, but I always go back to – the Jacob Eason injury year, 8 plays into the season, your starting quarterback was out. 8 plays. And that's not 8 offensive plays. It's 8 plays in general. So, boom, game's over. You know, and all of a sudden you have to throw a freshman out there, and he's got to face Notre Dame the following week. Tough, tough position to be put in. But point being, that is a Kirby, as you can see, when we started the whole show off with roster management. I think if they still had George Pickens, you're like, hey, Arik, if you want to come, you know, absolutely.
Right. You find a spot for him, but it's right. Not so, like Blaine said, it's not so much of a like push to really get this guy.
But you're pushing for another cornerback, in my opinion. If you didn't need to replace somebody as monumental to your offense, or as, you know, monumental to the outcome of a game as George Pickens was, because again, I feel bad for a lot of people that kind of crapped all over Stetson Bennett, but in a couple of those games where he struggled, you know, and when Georgia wasn't scoring a lot of points, there was no George Pickens. Then when JT Daniels came back, so did George Pickens at the same time. And all of a sudden the offense looked completely different. It was the same when Georgia's defense was out there struggling. They didn't have Jordan Davis out there. You put Jordan Davis on the field, the entire defense looks different. I'm just saying, with George Pickens on the field, that offense looks completely different. So, you know, you're out there at, 5'11", quarterback, trying to get it done with out George Pickens. It's tough. So
I always just say you need as much depth at these skill positions. And the classic example I go back to is Georgia had Todd Gurley, Keith Marshall, Nick Chubb, Sonny Michel, and Brendan Douglas still got a start in the middle of the season.
Yep.
Happens.
22.
Talking about Kyrus Jackson, looked up the stats, Roddy. He had the game against Auburn last year, 9 receptions, 147 yards. Then backed it up with Tennessee, 4 receptions, 91 yards, and a touchdown. So, I mean, he ended the year 514 yards and Georgia's leading receiver with 36, which just so happens to be, if you guys are joining us now, how many receptions Gilbert had for LSU last year. And he only played in 8 games. So
I should mention, that's not a shot at Brendan Douglas. I like Brendan Douglas a lot. He's a good dude, man.
No, but I mean, it's
town now. I know we got Your Pie is one of our big sponsors, but don't forget, he's just opened up a restaurant, didn't he?
Yeah, Little Caesars over on Baxter. I'll say their name. I don't care. Brendan played for Georgia. Come do a podcast with us. That's your thank you.
Now he's a great guy, you know. So, and that there are a lot of people who can be working late nights that will need that pizza, and he will be there to take care of them. So,
but pizza prosciutto, you're right about that.
Yeah,
Your Pie, pizza prosciutto. Anywho,
I'm sorry, I was
thinking about peaches and prosciutto. I know.
No, I was thinking, I was looking at some of the other stuff that's popping up there. That's
We should probably wrap this in like 5 or 10 minutes. So if you've got questions on the YouTube channel, fire them at us and we'll answer them the best that we can. And be sure you're subscribed to this channel as well. If you're just getting introduced to Blaine Gilmer from some of the content that he's posted recently in recruiting or his appearance on Paul's Sunday call-in show, man, we're just really fired up about what we're doing with this YouTube channel. And it's only possible through your support and sharing it with your network. So thanks for doing that and allowing us to keep trying to find all the information and storylines to get prepped for football season and beyond.
Hey, Blaine, you weren't here with us, Blaine. I told you on Sunday night, if Georgia landed Gilbert and Kendrick, Vegas might look at it a little differently. One book's already got them down to plus 600 from plus 800. I'm just saying, I didn't call it.
Yeah, I was thinking it'd be even more strong. I was thinking like plus 350 or something.
That's the first book right now that's even caught on. So there's still more out there. It'd be interesting to see what happens in a few days.
Folks, get your bets in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Michael Ward has a question. He says, how deep are we on the defensive line position? I believe that's the key to success in the SEC. I don't know that Georgia's that deep. You talk about the defensive line and you go, wow, yeah, Jordan Davis, Devontae Wyatt, you know, Jalen Carter. You know, Trayvon.
Yeah, first unit's loaded.
You know, it's like
second unit though, man. You got a lot of sophomore.
There's drop off. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a guy like Julian Rochester who's coming back for like his 8th year or something. So I mean, you know, he can play.
Yeah.
So.
Man, I hope he's a GA next year. Just like Julian's just there forever.
I think you hit the nail on the head, Roddy. Bill Norton, Zion Legault, Tymon Mitchell. Those guys are going to have to step up. Tramall Walther, the first line, no question. It's probably one of the better ones in the SEC. The subs, and we saw them last year. You know, Bill got in, Mitchell got in, Zion got in a good bit. The Stackhouse, Nazir Stackhouse as well. Like, all of those guys are going to be what happens, you know, what happens if an injury happens. Which one of those 4 guys that I mentioned is going to step up? Or is it going to be a guy like, you know, Ingram Dawkins, who I think Blaine and I, we talked about him on the show, we're really high on. You know, that's the question mark for me on the defensive line. First team, like Dane said, all conference, right? Almost at every position, you've got guys that are all conference at some aspect. You get to that second level, hopefully some of those freshmen from last year who had to play turn into, you know, sophomores that can play and, you know, can be out there and maybe make a difference on a couple of plays.
I agree.
One thing we probably haven't discussed, NIL buddies. We've got Gilbert and Kendrick maybe making themselves some money.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a dealership or something that's going to show up with a bunch of sign-ins of a bunch of these guys here when everything gets finalized with all that. And then Georgia, the more recruits I talk to now, the more are mentioning that Georgia, they're communicating a specific plan for me with my, you know, name, image, and likeness. Here's what they've kind of talked about, what I can do, what they can help me with. And then also, Georgia's been out ahead of this game for a while with like the personalized, you know, edits, giving these kids
logos,
their own logos and stuff to set them up for branding. I mean, the Georgia's been on top of this for a while.
I would hate to be the guy in the recruiting office that has to make those logos. I'm just saying, like, you're making those logos nonstop. It seems like, especially now with this new thing coming out, every kid on the team's going to want a logo. You're going to be backed up. You're going to be like the hottest guy in town. You got 3 weeks out, you know, before you get to the logo.
Hey, Blaine, I know you do some graphics, brother.
Hey,
yeah, man.
I tried that route for a little while. That's a competitive market, let me tell you.
For Gilbert specifically, though, being from Marietta, I mean, you got to think there's some endless possibilities to be the hometown guy at the nearby SEC school. I'm just, you know, maybe I should use that as my argument.
Make your way back home to XXX Ford, and we'll, you know, just like Eric Gilbert did to Athens, make your way back home here and get the, you know, I don't know.
Well, the classic example on this stuff is the car dealership, where it's really going to explode is social media, where it's just, oh, you've got 40,000 Instagram followers, 300,000 Instagram followers, just put something on your story and here's $100. I mean, that's really going to be the economy of this.
I don't even know if it's $100. I think it might be more than that, honestly.
I guess it depends on the player, right?
Like if you came up to me and offered me $100, I'd tweet out anything, you know, it doesn't matter. But some of these guys have like 400. Yeah, I mean, $100, I mean, that's more than 10 times my rate. But no, I mean, guys,
clothes on for $100.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but some of these guys have 500,000 followers. What's the going rate for that? You start looking into Instagram stuff online, it gets pretty pricey. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all takes effect. You're right.
You could endorse lotion.
Oh God, let's not
tell Roddy, story. Come on.
There's a story behind it, man, and it's just not fun.
Tell that story on the air.
It's just not fun. I think honestly, it's been so long ago. Julian Rochester was at the 5-star challenge. It's been almost like 5-6 years.
1963.
Yeah, that's when we were covering that. Oh, yeah, Lord. Man.
All right, Paul, you're obsessed, not obsessed, but you mentioned the Vegas line here of the season and title. Do you think that the point spread of Georgia-Clemson gets adjusted by the news today?
Ooh, that's a good question. Great question. You guys talk about that while I look that up. Yes, I think it might, maybe like half a point, but
I think we had seen it was going to be around a 3-point swing to Clemson, which I mainly thought was because the game was a faux home game for them, although that's not exactly fair. There's a lot of Georgia people up in the Appalachian Carolina area.
Right now, Dane, it's still at 3.5. But
yeah, I mean, started at four, went down to 3 in some places. I've always been of the opinion by the time this thing gets to kickoff, it's going to be a pick 'em game. I really, really do in terms of the line. I think it's going to shrink that much just over time because I think it was overreaction in the beginning. I think as it gets closer and closer, more money's going to come in, and it's going to come down to more of a pick'em style game, maybe a 1-point game before it's all said and done.
Yeah, I think it'll be like 1.5 or 2.5 or something like that, just so they can kind of backdoor some money somewhere in that way. I do think Clemson, if there is a favored team, I think it'll be Clemson, mainly because the national narrative is going to be Clemson has won titles in recent years. And I think the national media for sure, and frankly I have more confidence in DJ Uiagalelei than JT Daniels, and I don't know if that's founded or unfounded. They're both pretty unproven in the conference.
There he goes again.
I'm gonna hold that over my head forever. You can't say it.
Yeah, say it, Roddy. Say DJ Uiagalelei.
I don't want to hear it.
That's not trashing Daniels.
You just got 1 week of saying that name.
That's not trashing Daniels. I think DJ Uiagalelei is definitely one of the most talented quarterbacks in the country.
How do you say that last name again?
Uiagalelei.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
He keeps shooting.
I did go to a pretty good broadcast school, and I'm actually sitting right now.
I was right behind you, but I can't say that. There's no way.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of us have it, some of us don't.
some of us got passed just to get out of the building, and some of us, you know, made a career out of it.
Yeah, some of us came back to it.
Yeah.
No, as a whole, there's going to be two of the best quarterbacks in the country. I mean, guaranteed, I think game day is going to be there. That's going to be the highlight game of the first half of the season, probably. Will it end up meaning a whole lot by the end of the season? I have no idea. Typically those, you know, game of the century games on the front end, they end up not mattering as much by the end. So there's going to be a lot of hype because we love hype going into the first game. But remember Alabama, Florida State, like 5 or 6 years ago was supposed to be the game of all games, and Bama killed Florida State and Jimbo went to Texas A&M. So
Guys, another quick thing that just came across, Keon Saab from IMG just released the top six of his group. Georgia, of course, making that group, but it's Georgia, Penn State, Oregon, Clemson, Texas A&M, which is not one I had heard of with him before, and LSU. So one more than he's allowed with the official visits, those five official visits. So we'll see what ends up happening there. Georgia well-positioned with Keon Saab. He's got an official scheduled June 18th through 20th, and they just offered his brother, who's going into eighth grade in the class of 2026, Amari Saab. So
2026?
Yes.
All right, so break down, who is Keon Saab there, Blaine?
Defensive back from IMG Academy right there. His brother and family still live up in the New Jersey area from up there. But Keon is a guy that a lot of people have talked about in terms of maybe Clemson being the early favorite. And it seems like Georgia has a unique opportunity with the plethora of IMG ascenders that are coming on the same weekend of his visit to impress not only him, but in this first weekend, Kamari Wilson, on June 4th through 6th, that Tyler Booker, I just talked to him recently, and it's a story on UGASports.com if you want to read it, that Tyler Booker said if Kamari Wilson commits early to Georgia, that he's going to be relentless because he's such a leader and a recruiter, and he'll be just relentless in recruiting guys like Keon Saab. And Georgia's in on it. And the fact, I mean, obviously they're not going to offer somebody they don't see potential in, but if you offer somebody's little brother that's in the class of 2026, it's kind of implying, hey, we're all in on the Saab family. You know what I'm saying?
And that's right. And I want to bring it up because, you know, we need to explain to people, you know, who these guys are. He's a Rivals 100 defensive back. He's at IMG. You did a story today, which I really liked. It was basically the hot board, or the big board, because we always want to know in recruiting, what does Georgia's board look like for defensive back? What does it look like for linebacker? What does it look like for offensive line? What does it look like for quarterback, running back, stuff like that? We know most of the names, if not all the names. What we don't know exactly where to put them, so that gets a little tough. But I like that you had a story that was, here are the names, and here's who's Georgia's up for this guy, down for this guy. This is the latest, and you had Keon Saab on there. You mentioned that Clemson was a lot of people thought he was an early leader. You mentioned that they've offered his younger brother. They're talking to the entire family. I think that's big. And now, 2 hours later, he puts out a top six that matches what you said. So, anyway, good work. I'll give you a compliment in line for that, and then I'll rip you behind the scenes just because, you know, that's how we do it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But He was quoted in a newspaper recently, I think it was like a Greenville newspaper or something like that, of saying it's important that everyone, that the schools recruit not only me, but my family. Well, Georgia took that to the next level and offering he was more talking about getting his parents involved and talking to them and stuff like that. But that takes it to the next level when you offer a 2026 little brother of his. But obviously Amari is a fantastic athlete in his own right. So.
All right, guys, I'm going to have to run. We're going to do some stuff with 11 Live. I need to shave and put on a real shirt.
Yeah. Oh, so we're not good enough for that. Thanks. Give them all the good stuff.
We're not. Hey, this is instant analysis. This is the 11 Live stuff will be
That's the big time, folks. That's the
all right. Well, when you shave, go fix your hair too, okay?
Oh, Dane just got fired. You Yon's, saw a lot. Not only was this a instant analysis, instant reaction to Arik Gilbert and Darren Kendrick, this is also an instant analysis, an instant reaction to Dane Young no longer having a job at UGASports.com.
It'll be great when you come salt the earth around your house.
It's my insecurity of having the worst facial hair in this Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
No, I need Blaine's hair and Paul's beard, and I'll have it made. Hi, Jim. Hey, and again, everybody in the comment section, Chuck K, Reed Wilson, Cameron Mitchell, Scott Harris, Ian Kessler, OG, Stoney Jackson, the Deep Feed Gaming 56. I don't know what Deep Feed Gaming is, but anyway, hey, everybody, thanks for watching the show. We really appreciate it. Dane, I'm going to assign him the, because he's been an ass, he has to put this up into a content item. It'll be at the front page of UGASports.com. So if you joined us late, you can go back and rewatch the whole thing.
I'll throw it on our podcast feed too, so people can listen while they drive.
That'd be awesome. All right, guys, take care.